What are you listening to?
Shut the hell up. I'm listening to the Noisecast.
What is the Noisecast?
I said shut up.
Ow.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Noisecast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and things of that sort. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can hit us up at twitter.com/noisecast, and you can also follow us at our website, thenoisecast.com. On tonight's roster, we have Agrippa.
Aloha.
Bazooka Fox.
How's it going?
Gonzo Rider.
Another guy doing a podcast.
Benguin.
Hey, everyone. Long time no see.
And fresh off the CES floor, Snoop Dizzle.
Hello there.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's episode, which is also known as CES Detox, where we'll be covering all the cool things that happened at CES, as well as some future forecasts and things of that sort. Now, Snoop, you were at CES in Vegas. Is this your first time that you had gone there?
Yes, and my mind was blown.
Give us a little bit of a rundown. What was it like for a first timer? Would you go there again?
I would totally go there. It's definitely tech overload. I believe they said 140,000 people went, and this not only covers the Las Vegas Convention Center, but even hotels like the Venetian, the Hilton, and other stuff. But there's just so much stuff there. And a lot of the interesting thing was a lot of interesting stuff actually came from the smaller booths. You obviously, if you watched any coverage, mostly saw stuff probably from like Samsung, Panasonic, Sony, the usual. But it was just really interesting to see everything that was there. And I didn't even cover most of it. I covered most of the convention floors, but I mean, I probably missed out on a lot of stuff.
Now, is it only E3 that does the whole booth babe thing?
I saw a few booth babes, if you call them that, but not like many.
Yeah, ironically, E3 is the one that's known for that.
I believe the porn convention was going on during CES, so maybe they're all there.
Was it really?
Yeah, supposedly.
Oh man.
We should have said you didn't go.
It was like $80.
We always need more stories about sex toys.
Sex gadgets, yes. Because this is a gadget podcast, and that's of course our only interest in, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the birds and the bees.
The stork.
Who came up with that? Since when did a bird fuck a bee?
That's
messed up. That's against God right there.
Hey, Snoop, how was it getting? I mean, how was it getting in? I mean, I know, you know, the cost of getting in and whatnot, but what's the secure, like, what are the controls?
Well,
did anyone have to rub you down?
Thankfully not. Actually, well, it depended who did. But anyway, to get in, they make it sound like you have to be a part of the consumer electronics industry. When you actually go there, it wasn't as crazy to get in as I thought, but that might be because if you're media or press, they usually just allow you in. But I mean, walking in, as long as you had your badge out, I mean, I bet you could even have a fake badge and you'd get in no problem.
Don't give me
ideas. Good idea.
I got it. If you get arrested at CES 2012, you did not get this idea from us. We don't control yeah. Jackson.
When does anyone know when South by Southwest is?
April March. I think it's during my spring break. It's like I can't even remember.
So wait, what's coming next after CES? Well, here at least in the States.
In the States is
Macworld, isn't that coming up soon?
Do they still do Macworld? Because I heard something about them stopping it soon. I don't know. That's
when Apple decides they aren't really interested anymore.
No, but I know GDC is coming up in March. That's the game developer convention. If you're talking about the next big convention that's coming up is Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, which is coming up first week of February, just a few weeks away. But it's usually springtime between February and April is big convention season.
Put it up right here, and Macworld is January 26th.
Okay.
Through 29th in San Francisco. So,
it's coming up next week.
Is that a big convention, or is that just big media-wise, you know, the news and all?
I'd say it's more of a convention. It's more or less the CES of Apple.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
that's
not
really,
entirely,
that's
but
lonely.
That's
convention.
A generalization, but yeah.
Now, Snoop, what was the biggest thing that wowed you at CES?
The performance audio at the Venetian, like $50,000 speakers and stuff like that. But for something that we can actually afford, I guess we're just looking at all the new TVs, not necessarily 3D, but simply just, you know, new TVs coming out. Regarding TVs, though, it was interesting because I saw demos of Toshiba's glassless 3D TV. I saw LG's as well, and there wasn't much depth to them, and the view angles were horrible, but there was actually this one small booth, and they were, what was the nerd name? iPont, and they had a demo out for a 3D TV without glasses, and while it's a demo product, it doesn't look that great, but it actually had a lot of depth to it, and in some ways it looked better than the Toshiba demo and some other stuff. So, I mean, there might actually be something worth using in a few years.
Interesting. Tablets and 4G and mobile were the big hit of CES this year. Am I right to say that? Or
yeah.
Okay.
I saw some good tablets, but I saw also a lot of knockoff tablets at smaller booths.
What do you mean by knockoff tablets? I saw you said that. What exactly qualifies as a knockoff tablet?
I don't know if many of them were just demos, but a lot of them were just using like old versions of Android, some versions of Windows. The main booths, like Microsoft, they had, you know, good ASUS tablets and that kind of stuff. But it just, when I tried some out, like they were just very buggy. They barely worked. They could have been demo units, but they just seemed kind of a bit lackluster.
Gotcha. Were you able to get up close and personal with the Motorola Zoom?
I only got my hands on the Bionic because it was so chaotic there. But I'm assuming it was somewhat similar. But I mean, for the Bionic itself, I mean, it seemed like a very nice phone.
Now, Motorola brought out its big guns with the Motorola the Zoom tablet and the Atrix phone. Sort of to silence all those naysayers who pretty much voice that Motorola recycles the same product over and over again, like they did with a Razr, and like they almost did with a Droid. And by coming out with Atrix and the Zoom, it sort of shows that Motorola still got some innovation left in it. What do you guys think? Were the Zoom and the Atrix worthy of CNET's Best of Show and Best of Smartphone Awards?
After watching like all the CES coverage, I got to say I am drooling over the Atrix. So Motorola really like kind of proved himself again with this phone. I am so excited for it.
I would say it's one of the best. Regarding Samsung, they had some phones displayed, but you weren't allowed to really talk about them or take pictures of them. So some of those phones looked pretty nice, but I would think the Motorola ones are a bit better, though.
I'm going to be a bit contrarian and say I'm going to maintain a holding pattern with Motorola. Like, I mean, let me step that back a second. It brilliant, looked amazing, seems amazing, and whatnot. But I'd rather be considered, you know, cautiously optimistic about it. You know, Motorola's kind of screwed up enough times. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, like, we'll wait and see.
I will say, though, like, you know, starting with the droid, they've picked up. So they're, I guess, redeeming themselves now.
Yeah. Yeah, they have been starting to act more like a startup, and now that their split has been finalized, you know, they've been, you know, now that, you know, they have their own little thing, I guess they're, you know, they're smaller, nimbler, they're a little, you know, so, I mean, you know what, I might be unfair, but, you know, once bitten, twice shy.
And they have a shiny blood red logo now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you, I like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
And you know the danger is if we all love all their new gear so much, they might put us through another Razer thing where they just don't build anything new forever. So I think no one should give any of their new stuff perfect.
I detest their products.
Well, like, I'll buy it, but I hate it.
I'm just waiting for the Rocker 2.
Oh god. But on the Motorola Zoom tablet, we were able to preview Android 3.0 Honeycomb, and you were able to, the video of it was posted online, the UI video. Still is, seems like it's not fully complete yet. It still has a long way to go, but definitely seems like this operating system has been refreshed and made more focused on user-friendly UI for tablets.
Yeah, I was impressed, even though I did chuckle when Engadget got the hands-on with it, and it wasn't, they couldn't play with the actual operating system, they could just play with the video that they had already shown everyone of it, so I thought, you know, that's not really a hands-on, but whatever. I was genuinely impressed with Honeycomb. I have worries, though. I mean, obviously, I think everyone does. There seems to be this thing with Google in general as a, you know, as a corporation where it seems to be losing its vision, taking on too many things. But I like that Android is a core part of their business, and I don't think, I don't expect Android to suffer, you know, from that, you know, half-baked permanent beta thing that the rest of the business seems to be going through. But, you know, I have recently been starting to get a little worried.
Android's come a long way for mobile phones. And, you know, a while ago I was trying out the Galaxy Tab. And that, and Google said themselves that Android at that point was incomplete. This might actually start making those products a little more substantial and better to use. But, I mean, I look forward to it. Some of the tablets I saw seemed pretty cool. But that was more like Windows and everything.
Now, just, was I the only one who, I mean, I'm starting to feel like I'm the, you know, I'm the Debbie Downer here, but was I the only one completely bored by CES? I really didn't see
for the most part, most everything I saw was either a new 3D TV, a new tablet with Honeycomb, but there were, with all that, there were those few diamonds in the rough that were the few things that stood out, like Atrix and everything. But most everything else was just, it was a lot of the same old, same old.
Yeah.
Well, I remember going through my Google Reader on the first day of CES, and by the end of the day, I had over 800 unread articles, and it took me literally like 2 hours just to go through them all. And by the time that was all done, I couldn't remember 75% of what I had read. And by that point, I was just like, you know what? I'm burned out already. That was way too much.
Being that I went there, it was so chaotic, but it was awesome at the same time. It was more of an experience for me because I was actually there. But, I mean, you know, if I were trying to succinctly say what I liked the most, it's kind of hard because just being there and looking at everything was awesome as it is.
For what everybody does remember about CES, what do you think are your what are you most optimistic about, or what was your favorite sort of CES thing from this year?
You know, mine's gonna sound stupid, but it kind of goes back to the whole kind of like same old everything. My favorite thing from CS was actually the Angry Birds board game.
I didn't see that.
Well, that's very gadget related.
Well, I mean, I love board games, and I'm like fucking stupidly addicted to Angry Birds. So
seems to go hand in hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you need to find a new hobby.
Oh, this looks awesome. What are you talking about?
You haven't seen it? It's just
I just pulled it up. It looks sweet.
Exactly, right?
Why is Angry Birds so goddamn addicting? Like, I played it one time. I was like, this shit sucks. We're going to have to kill people. We're going to shoot guns and shit. None of that. Not for me.
Well, for $1, you could shoot the Mighty Eagle, which sort of demolishes
which is awesome,
everything.
By the way, I bought it, and it's a lot of
fun. For $1 each use.
No, you only have to pay for it once.
Oh, really? I thought it was you pay $1, and it's every time you use it, it's $1.
No, you just pay for it once.
It'd be a total rip-off.
You buy it once, you can only use it so many hours a day or something like that.
Okay, without going into it too much, But there's a lot of misinformation out there. Basically, you pay for it, it's $1. And then any level you haven't passed, you can use it to pass that level instantly. But then you have to wait for it to recharge for an hour. But any level you've already passed, you can use it over and over again as much as you want. And then at that point, it's kind of opens a secondary gameplay mode where instead of just trying to kill the pigs, you're trying to destroy all the structure in the level. So even if you finish the game, it gives you kind of an extra way to play.
Oh. Gotcha. Okay, God, so what was your favorite thing of CES, since Angry Birds doesn't tickle your fancy?
I didn't really have one. I really didn't give a shit about CES. Like, I don't want to...
Typical Gonzo.
There's all this neat shit, but I'm never going to get it for another, like, 2 years, because it's so all in development, they're just showing off what they have. I'd rather see stuff that's coming out this year.
There was a lot of stuff that was actually coming out this year, but yeah, from what you were looking at, you wouldn't necessarily know that because, you know, they're covering, like, you know, the 3D.
All the big coverage is coming into this, you know, this awesome new technology that's going to be coming out
right. Eventually.
And I'm like, eventually? I want concrete stuff I can get my hands on now.
Well, was this the most innovative CES yet?
Oh, no.
Well,
I wouldn't say so, necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying that, and I have no idea why.
I don't know if I can really honestly answer that, because I don't know.
I mean, frankly, I'm disappointed. This is 2011. I think I said this before. 2010 was, like, the first year of the future. In all sci-fi, it's the magic year, and I expected more from CES.
We're only four years out from Back to the Future's predictions of the
future. Flying skateboards.
So, yeah, come on, Mattel, get on that shit.
I don't want to put a damn vacuum cleaner on my
skateboard. Look, I can live without flying cars and skateboards and shit, because then the FAA is going to get involved and suck all the fun out of all that cool stuff. I just want some holograms.
I just want a jet.
That's all I want.
Nobody else? Jetpack?
No.
That was a one of those promises.
Get involved and suck the fun out of the jetpack.
You can't suck the fun out of a jetpack.
You can suck the fun. You gotta pay like $10,000 just to get licensed to fly your jetpack around. No fun.
But see, then the
no
FCC
fun.
Is
once you pay that $10,000, it'll be fun.
And, you know, you can't get like hollow nudity anymore.
That's why
at least I could pirate. I could pirate my own holograms and be like, fuck you, FCC.
That's why you need to
pirate
your jetpack.
By then, torrents will be illegal.
Oh, fuck that.
Torrents
piracy will never
kind
die.
Kind of illegal.
Wait, it's illegal?
What? Kind of. I mean, seriously, who does anything with torrents that aren't legal at this point?
I download official Linux builds legally, of course.
I was about to say that.
Well, yeah, so do I, but you know what I mean. God damn it.
Point set and match, sir. Your serve.
I get podcasts off BitTorrent, which is why the Noisecast is on BitTorrent.
That's BS.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
That's a lot of word to get podcasts off torrent.
Yeah, I know.
They're already free.
If any of our listeners do that, I salute you. But
by the way,
need to get some help.
I find it really odd that if you go onto uTorrent and try to download the client, they give you an option to download it as a torrent.
Classic. Well, hell, I remember years ago I was trying to download, I think it was Stuff It Expander for the Mac, and it came as a Stuff It file. I was like, how am I supposed to open it?
Software. I mean, those guys are brilliant, but sometimes.
Sometimes the people in charge of the distribution channels should not be in charge of distribution channels.
Exactly. They need to be fired.
Very random, but one of the coolest things I saw was a Sierra Nevada keg / gaming PC at the NVIDIA booth.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
That was awesome. Keg. It was
beer.
I think his name was Ben Lazar.
For podcasting nights.
And he built that within 2 weeks while doing a full-time job.
And wasn't it also cooled by the beer, or am I mistaken? Wasn't
there I think it had separate cooling unit, whatever, but...
Yeah, because the beer stayed cold because if the beer would get hot, you know, from the computer generating heat.
You know what? Anytime someone tells me someone did some really amazing thing while having a full-time job, I feel like they're talking to me and saying, meanwhile, you're jobless and stupid, and what have you done?
I was just repeating what you
said. Very true.
Pretty much, get off your ass. What are you doing?
I wasn't thinking that, but thanks for bringing it up.
In that case...
I think we need to change our name from McGriffa to Debbie Downer, because that's all you are. You're bringing everybody down. You're like,
you know,
Prince
what?
In the IT scrum.
I'm here for.
We should totally take this idea and run with it and make beer cooled computers where all you do is, if you want to grab a beer, beer companies will be all aboard with this. You know, grab two beers whenever you go to grab one. You know, take one for you and the other one just pour into your computer.
But then you're going to drink it and then your computer's going to overheat. And then you're going to be too drunk to troubleshoot it. And then everyone loses.
I mean,
therefore,
your computer's going to get too drunk.
Nah, I have to say, Steven, this idea, I mean, come on. You're going to use the beer to cool the computer. Great. And then once you drink it, like they said, the computer overheats. But never mind the fact that you already feel like crap because you had to drink warm beer.
And that's how you get more money, because you will be forced to get a new computer.
No, hold on. Even better.
What?
Urine cooler computer. Like, as you drink the beer, you gotta take a piss back. And then
that might work if piss wasn't hot when it came out.
I've heard half-assed ideas before, but come on.
That's a half-cocked idea right there.
You guys are beer haters, though. You are. I'm trying to pave the way of innovation for beer technology.
I contest that you're the beer hater, because I'd rather drink it than pour it into my computer.
Exactly. I already had my beer innovation a couple podcasts ago.
Oh, the beer launcher?
Not a launcher, but just a system of tubes around your house that you just put a button and you got a beer.
Unless it made beer.
I've spilled enough beer on my laptop to know that beer is not good for computers.
Got it.
I'm on my third keyboard. Okay? So it's not good.
Nice.
Alright, well, we'll find another idea by the end of this podcast that everybody approves of and is not gonna shut down the deal with this one. But
it's a wasting beer.
Obviously another big thing at CES didn't involve CES alone. And I find it really funny that some news outlet sort of jumped the gun and said, oh my God, Apple steals CES again without even being at CES, with the whole Verizon iPhone hype and later the announcement.
Give a shit.
Does this mean we can finally go forward with our production of GIMP mask cases?
Yes. Yes.
That's about the only thing that's worth anything with a Verizon iPhone.
Well, I wish Vito was on this podcast, because he was one of the more vocal people of it's never coming to the to Verizon. Yeah. Sort of thing, which I don't blame him. You know, I mean, I didn't expect it for another year at least. I was expecting like an iPad announcement. So, but
you mean that iPad they already have?
An iPad,
quote unquote.
I meant an LTE iPad, genius.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those where I had doubts, and I kept saying it. I seriously doubted, but what always bugged me was, you know, people's reasons why it couldn't be. That's what always set me off, and I'd have to be like, wait a minute, that your reason for them not to do it makes absolutely no sense. You know, you're given, you can't act like, you know, Apple is this brilliant corporation and then accuse them of doing something so completely stupid, you know, on something so fundamental. But, well, you know, it's well, here. Finally, that people can stop.
Yeah. Actually, when I was at where I was earlier, you know, I was watching the football games and stuff, and the whole Verizon iPhone thing came up amongst, I want to say, the lay folk or the peasants, because, you know, the non-technologically Normies. Savvy people, you know, they're like,
them as plebs.
Well, one of the big things they were saying was like, yeah, this is the iPhone. This is just a 3G iPhone. It's not the AT, like the AT&T has a 4G one. This is going to be the 3G. I'm like, no, let me bust out my, I'm a tech geek. You're not thinking that. And,
I'm wondering.
Set, your tinfoil hat.
Yes.
I just, okay. I've given up. I just walk away in those situations.
Someone answer whether or not the iPhone for Verizon will have voice and data.
It will by the end of the year.
Oh, it will. I didn't even know that.
By the end of 2011, Verizon is already working and planning to roll out upgrades to their towers, to their network, that will allow voice and data over CDMA. So it's not like, you know, it's forever. You're never going to have it.
Okay, that's pretty cool then, because as far as I can see, a Verizon iPhone is the exact same shit as an AT&T iPhone. It's not going to fucking magically wipe your bottom for you or anything, but except for the fact that you can't do voice and data at the same time, so really you're coming out behind. But if eventually they fix that, then that's cool. Then we go to the exact same thing.
Hasn't Verizon also, aren't they allowing the hotspot?
Yeah, that's cool.
The five device.
Hopefully AT&T picks up on that.
Yeah, but apparently AT&T is looking into incorporating that also with a crazy charge probably, but it'll be there.
Well, wait, did AT&T ever actually implement their tethering feature? And how is that different than the tether?
Yeah, well, if you're like me and you're grandfathered into the actual unlimited plan, you have to go to the 2 gigabyte cap plan. And then another, it's like $10 or $15 a month to actually enable tethering.
I think it's like $30, actually.
That's for the additional 5 gigs of tethering data.
So they do give you extra tethering data separately. They give you out of your 2 gigs. All right, that makes
they
a little more
Yeah,
sense.
They give you a few extra gigabytes, I believe, for I think $30 or $40 a month.
Ooh, that makes more
they
sense.
They don't give you, they sell you.
Well, they sell you. they give it to you, but expect, you know, financial, you know,
compensation out of the kindness of their heart.
But some poll, I guess, predicted that 16% of
like someone from Poland?
Some poll from Poland decided to predict that 16% of AT&T customers are going to be switching over to Verizon for the iPhone. Bullshit, yes or no?
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
If they're grandfathered in, I don't think they'll switch over. Well, I guess it really depends what Verizon data plans will be like. I mean,
people are going to talk smack.
Why would you switch over when, if you switch over, you're a new subscriber, you can't upgrade your phone in a couple months when the iPhone 5 comes
out? Right. That too.
And don't forget, you're going to pay $175 plus to leave AT&T, plus the cost of the phone on Verizon. You know, it's, you know, and whatever deposit they make you put down, which, you know, well, unless you have pristine credit.
Verizon might be a damn ETF. People a deal, though, because with the iPhone on AT&T, usually they said you had to have a certain amount of your contract completed, but they, you know, allow you to upgrade at normal price. I'm wondering if Verizon will be doing that too.
Well, Verizon is getting rid of its early upgrade feature. Mm-hmm. So that way, if you did buy, like for me, if I bought my Droid in November, I'm not getting an iPhone until next November because I was on a 1-year contract. So I can't early terminate or early upgrade without paying the full price. If you want to leave AT&T, it depends on how much longer you have on your contract, because it's sort of every month you're on AT&T, you get a certain portion knocked off of your ETF. So if you had just 3 months left, for example, you might get away with just paying around $50 just to leave AT&T. If you happen to get the iPhone 4 on AT&T, expect to be paying the full $150. So
the only reason I could see switching to Verizon could be viable is if you live in one of those cities where AT&T is almost unusable. Like I know when I was in San Francisco last year before, something like that, my phone was pretty much useless because the concentration of people with iPhones. So if you live in one of those cities, it might be worth it to you to switch over. But I think probably the most people, like I know I'm not going anywhere. I get pretty good service, and I figure if people do leave, that just frees up more bandwidth for me. So yeah, I'm not
greedy bastard.
Well, yeah. See, I don't have an iPhone, but I've had AT&T for nearly 10 years now, and I have never really had an overwhelming problem where it drops my calls, like just randomly.
Even when I had the iPhone,
maybe I'm
going
to go to Aereo.
I didn't have too many issues with drop calls. It was just that Sprint offered such a better deal. We went for it, basically.
Well, I think that Begwin makes a good point, though. I mean, I think that should be your only reason to switch. I mean, if you live in an area where AT&T doesn't really, it works fine for you. You don't have problems with it. Like I know Kaiser. I think he's the one that was saying he's never, in the last year, he's never had a drop call on AT&T with his iPhone. He's been fine. There's no reason for him to switch. If you live in an area like Begwin said that, for example, Verizon does have better coverage, it does have better call quality and stuff like that, like I do here, then yes, switching to Verizon would be a better thing. So don't base it off of everybody saying Verizon and that's why you should switch. So
yeah, it's my contract's coming up. Like I'm due for a phone upgrade on the 29th, but my contract itself actually ends in March or May, I'm not sure. And yeah, I'm at that point where I'm trying to decide, you know, where I'm gonna go. But you know, something like the iPhone, I don't even care. I don't even care about the iPhone on AT&T, let alone on Verizon. You know, so yeah. But for me, AT&T has worked well enough. I mean, you start complaining about the kind of service you're getting until you live through Comcast and the Katy area. And then you're like, that's unreliable. Suddenly you're like, you know what, AT&T, it's all right, brother. You know, it's just the only issue I've had with AT&T, and this was I haven't had this in a while, is I would randomly pick up a neighbor's phone call. Well, I assume it was a neighbor. The voice sounded like my neighbor. And right in the middle of a conversation, you know, it'd be this dude, and whoever he's talking to, it would usually be at night, and he's, you know, I love you, good night, whatever.
Sex lines.
You know, and it's like, well, I'd at the time be talking to my girlfriend. She, you know, I was in Houston. She was in San Antonio, and so, you know, we'd be talking each night, and every once in a while, just randomly, I'd just lose her, and there's this dude on the end.
Maybe he was talking to you.
Yeah, maybe he loved you.
Should have been like, I love you too, sexy. Oh, yeah.
The first few times it happened, it was just like, what? But, you know, I'm not going to lie, the very first time it happened, I thought there was a dude with her, and you know, I was being led around, and the dude took the phone from her and was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna let him know. That's exactly what ran through my head for a second. Not ashamed to admit it.
Oh, Grippa, you're so crazy.
Oh man. Okay. Well, on the topic of the iPhone as well, there is something that Begwin wanted to share with us about a new accessory for the iPhone. Begwin?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, first off, this isn't really specific to the iPhone. What I am picking out for you guys this week is called the iPlunge cell phone stand. It's this, you know, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I got it for Christmas, and it was one of my favorite gifts this year, even though it's such a stupid little thing. It's this like two inch tall miniature plunger with a suction cup and a little stick on the back. The idea is you stick it to the back of your phone. The box shows an iPhone, but anything with like a smooth flat back will work. You stick it on the back and then you just prop it up, watch videos and whatever. And
my Evo doesn't have that.
Well, your Evo has a built-in kickstand, so you don't need this anymore.
Not a plunger.
Well, that's true. But yeah, it's cool. It's, you know, it's cute. It's funny looking. It's only a couple bucks. You can buy it online, like from ThinkGeek. You can even just buy it like from what's that store? Urban Outfitters. I think it was like
goddamn
five...
Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna buy it from.
$5-6 or something. And it's just really cool. I would suggest though, do not resist the urge to stick it to your forehead, because I did that right after I got it. And
that's what everybody's first urge will be when getting a plunger.
Well, it was mine. And I did that, and it was on for about 10 minutes, and I had like a hickey mark on my forehead for like 2 days, and it doesn't come off. So don't do that. And if you happen to have a very miniature toilet, you could probably use it, you know, to...
your hands to your toilet? So,
exactly. But yeah, it's really cool. It's about $6. Just, you know, find it wherever. I plunge. It's cool. Get it.
Is there an iPad version or like tablet version?
I mean, this would work for an iPad if you just positioned it correctly. Ah. So, and that's the thing, too. It's really easy to stick on, take off. Just, you know, so if whatever configuration you have it set in doesn't work too well, just pop it off and do it again. I heartily recommend it.
Okay.
If your interwebs are clogged, you can just pop them open with that too.
Exactly.
Clean the
stick it in your router.
There you
okay,
go. It's
new idea then. Going off this, the iPlunge launcher, or the iPlunge gun, where you shoot many little plungers fantastic. At people.
All right. I like this idea now.
Okay, better idea.
that's better.
Except
than the
I think Nerf might have invented that about 20 years ago.
Does a plunger your face?
Well, they make the darts with suction cups. So
yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure you can if you aim at someone's face.
Which I have.
Hey, what you do in the privacy of your own home is not something I want to hear about.
Okay, those
but
Nerf
I could
people
stand
have,
to hear more.
I'm pretty sure those Nerf people have invented some of the most dangerous and mind-boggling toys ever.
They have bolt-action, clip-loaded fucking sniper rifles now.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's crazy.
I think it's awesome. No,
they got fully automatic ones now, like the Vulcan,
belt-fed
one. Oh, I want one so bad.
I'm an adult, and I'd love to have that gun. They have the dual-barreled shotgun.
Yeah, it was like
where you pop it in the back and the shells actually come out and you reload it.
Yeah, it's like my buddy's girlfriend sent me and my friend out to the Walmart to buy something, and we didn't buy it. We came home with Nerf guns, and we're like, nah, it's much better money spent.
Hell yeah! the best like bang for your buck, so to speak, for Nerf guns is the Maverick. The thing's about $10.
Yeah.
It's like a revolver. It's fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, we have not the most recent Christmas, but the one before that, my parents got like three of those, and like a refill pack. So two of my sisters already had them. So it was my entire family running around the house, diving under couches, just shooting each other with Nerf guns. Like we'll still find them to the date. Like we'll like be sitting on the couch and we'll like put our hand down. There'll be like a Nerf. A little Nerf bullet just sitting there in the crevice. You're like, what the fuck?
What was the one they had that was not a gun at all? It was the Nerf crossbow or the Nerf bow or something?
Oh,
it was
dude,
a huge thing. It was about the size of your body.
Yeah, the Nerf bow, man.
But then
that
you
thing
pretend
was
to be
rad.
Rambo, dude.
Yeah.
The only problem was it only came with three darts, and they get bent, and the dog chews on them. So
the one thing I wish I did as a kid was buy a bunch of Nerf ammo, which I never did.
You can make your own fairly easily.
The only bad part was the ammo was different for every single gun.
Yeah.
It was like you couldn't use a Nerf balls and a Nerf bazooka in another Nerf gun. You were stuck with it.
Well, now they've kind of... There's like two different types of major ammo, and you can just buy just big 30 packs of it, and it's not too bad.
Yeah, the funniest thing nowadays is if you go on YouTube and you search Nerf Vulcan, there's actually a small community dedicated to modding it.
Oh, yeah, dude. They're modding Nerf guns. It's huge.
Yeah.
Dude, like, this is a chain gun.
Yeah, exactly. It's...
And you, there are people, and it's motorized, and there's people that, like, hook them up to, like, webcams and shit and set them on their desk and can launch them remotely and shit.
Dude, the kid on the, kid in the box looks like he's...
War mod for the Nerf gun?
Yeah, like, I saw one where some guy painted it up. It looked badass. Made it, like, all, like, dark black and green and shit.
The kid on the box of the Nerf Vulcan looks homicidal.
Yeah, he does.
I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I'm sure you would have the same look on your face if you had that thing.
I don't know if I necessarily want my, like, my 7-year-old kid to have that look on his face.
Callous as a kid?
I'd be damned if my kid has a face any other than that.
I don't know if
I'd feel like I failed as a parent. You're not my kid son. Didn't get that excited.
Where's your bloodlust?
Be a man.
Are you going to be one of those kids that dresses up your kid as Rambo for their first Halloween?
Yeah. Give them a crossbow and let them run around.
For their first Halloween and every Halloween after that.
And random days in August.
Random days in August.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Nerf guns never get old, man. It's like Legos. They're always fun.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Now, okay, here we go. We got to mod a Nerf gun to shoot Lego. Because we know, I think anyone that stepped on a Lego piece barefoot knows those things fucking hurt. So
Jesus Christ.
That'll cause some damage.
Have you seen the guy on YouTube who had made guns out of Lego pieces?
Yeah, and they, like, you could cock them back and shit?
Yeah, it's a completely work, like, it's got the same mechanisms as an actual gun. Like, he's made a mini gun that shoots rubber bands and, like, a spring-loaded rifle that shoots, or it's rubber band-loaded rifle that shoots Lego blocks. It's so awesome.
Yeah, have you guys ever been to Lego World or Legoland?
Yes.
No.
They have one by me. I know they have a whole bunch of them. That's if you want to see some insane Lego shit. That's where you gotta go.
Yeah, Legoland's pretty awesome, but the tickets are kind of, like, ridiculously expensive. They're like
because they had some poor underpaid person sit there for like 17 hours a day putting piece by piece onto their giant statues or whatever they make in there.
Yeah, well, when you figure a Lego set with like 25 pieces costs like $15, then, you know, overpriced is kind of in their MO. But yeah, it's pretty cool place.
Yeah, well, it's like I was at Barnes & Noble and they had their new like architecture set or whatever, and they had it was the Space Needle. It had like 60 something pieces. It was $20. And I was like, I can build this in 10 minutes.
Actually, that's a good price for that one, because I've seen some, like, those architecture ones, they're like $100. They're ridiculous. Yeah. And you don't even get that many pieces.
The big Guggenheim one, it's got like, I don't remember how many pieces it had, but it was like $50 or $60.
I think the worst one I've seen was at the Sears Tower. They have a miniature version, about a 10-foot tall version of the Sears Tower in Chicago. And literally all it is all black Legos stacked up on top of each other. That's sort of, it's just like a bunch of 1, 2, 3, 4 cubes of Legos in the spiral.
Yeah.
Boring.
I have the Hancock Center one, and it's literally just a bunch of black blocks. And it was like almost $20, and it maybe has 45 pieces in it.
Nerf and Lego, those were unexpected topics for tonight.
Yeah, how did we get on that?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Went from plungers to, you know.
Oh, yeah, shooting plungers.
I wish
you brought this up, Stephen.
Yeah, blame me. Okay. I was just trying to be innovative.
God.
Speaking of innovation, BlackBerry's new Storm 3 was sort of... The mock-up was sort of leaked on the interwebs this week.
The what?
BlackBerry, the Storm 3.
No, go on.
It's just Storm 3.
Does anyone care? You know what? That's actually a good point that we didn't talk about with the iPhone going to Apple, is I wonder what kind of implications it'll have on other smartphones, because like how it'll affect Android and, you know, other kind of touchscreen devices, because now a lot of people, I know a lot of people got Android because they wanted Android, but also I know a lot of people got
Android because that was the closest thing they could get to an iPhone. So I wonder what that'll do to that whole market space.
Android probably will be able to compete fairly well, but I am wondering what like BlackBerry will do, aside from like business consumers.
Anyone worried about WebOS?
Who cares about WebOS?
I don't think WebOS is worried about WebOS.
No, I think WebOS is sort of that, you know, the silent person that creeps in the shadows and just waits for to make its move. Because ever since HP has acquired WebOS, you haven't heard about WebOS at all. But yeah, the pre-2 was sort of pushed and stuff, and nobody really gave a shit about the pre-2 because it was like a fat sort of piece of nothing. But I know HP is already starting to slowly integrate WebOS into all of its printers. It's coming out with a tablet. It's sort of being very, very low-key lately, which sort of makes me wonder and sort of afraid of what the fuck is HP planning, because HP doesn't do anything. Yeah, HP doesn't do shit without, you know, making a big splash, and with WebOS, it's been keeping quiet.
Yeah, well, no February 9th, but, I mean, HP also hasn't really lately been known for its over-profusion of intellect. So,
well, it's the Dell of the 2000s, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh. Nightmares.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Dude, you're getting a piece of shit computer.
Well, it really is. I mean, well, I don't know. When the last year, couple of years, they've sort of gotten a little bit better with their manufacturing quality. But yeah. in mid 2000s, I mean, HP was synonymous with shitty junk that broke down all the time.
But I think it depends what you're buying too. Dell's improved. HP's gotten worse, depending on what lines you're getting of computer. Sure.
Well, did I say Dell in the mid-2000s or HP in the mid-2000s?
No, I said
HP.
Yeah, HP is what I meant, yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know. But,
well, they were just one step above Compaq.
they still dish out Presarios.
Oh, shit. That was the worst computer ever. I used to have one of those. What a bucket of bolts.
Well, that was mostly once HP bought them and made them a budget brand.
It still is their budget brand. They still sell them.
It's still a piece of shit brand.
They're slowly fading it out, though.
They're still running Celerons.
Yeah. I remember there used to be a number of models, compact models, but now, off the top of my head, I can only remember seeing one.
What's one too many? Get them the fuck off the shelves.
It's like e-machines. Like, all of them are low-end.
Oh, God, e-machines. Don't even say that.
I personally think HP was the worst thing to happen to Compaq.
Oh, yeah, I remember having a pretty solid compact laptop, actually, before that. Which is weird saying that, but
HP did to Compaq with what Ford did to Jaguar.
Yes, definitely.
Let's switch gears to... Well, not switch gears. We were talking about BlackBerry earlier. You no longer can get rim jobs from BlackBerry, for those that care.
Can we still get hand jobs?
For those who don't know what I'm talking about, if you were able to go to the URL http://rim.jobs, and it would take you to Research in Motion's careers website, that has stopped functioning. You can no longer go to rim jobs and go to the career website. Please.
And, you know, rimjobs.com is a completely different thing now.
rim.jobs, not rim. Don't go to rimjobs.com.
I just did.
rim.jobs. But when I first saw that, I thought it was a joke, and I did a who is on the domain, and it actually was registered to Research in Motion. It was actually their own domain.
Wow.
I didn't realize jobs valid TLD.
Who greenlighted that?
That's what I'm wondering. What the fuck was wrong with that person?
I'm kind of scared.
You know what? Either they were probably a great troll.
Or they're just that oblivious.
Problem Rim?
Yeah. Either they trolled the hell out of Rim, or they were just really, really, really bad at not catching that.
They probably thought it was a great idea at the time.
Yes. Our careers should be synonymous with rim jobs.
Well, I mean, if you don't think about it.
Who doesn't like a good rib job? Come on.
Everybody loves a wet, funny feeling in your ass and didn't know any better. Because rib jobs isn't necessarily like a mainstream sex act. Hey, baby, you want a rim job tonight?
It beat out their secondary, their second option, salad dot toss.
Okay.
I don't know where we go from there.
I bet it was some really, you know, polite, church-going Canadian. That was like,
it was
rim
the, it was the intern.
That'll be easy to remember.
I blame the intern. He knew what he was doing.
But you know what? There had to be a few levels of bureaucracy that I had to go through, though. You know, you don't just do something like that in a huge company, one person, and it gets approved. It probably had to go through like some manager and some manager's manager at least. Two different
and it probably levels. That's what happened. It probably just fell through the cracks. Well, if that was the third.
But absorb Gonzo.
Off the topic of rim jobs. Agrippa, you just mentioned the Notion Ink Atom, which finally sort of showed itself off. Finally, it's no longer vaporware.
Yeah.
That was your favorite CES thing?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I had kind of, you know, I'd always been interested in it, and then I lost interest as, you know, Rohan started trying. You know, he tried to act like Steve Jobs, but without, you know, Steve Jobs' clout, which just made it come off as shady. But, you know, he quickly, you know, adapted and just started, you know, revealing videos and showing people stuff and killing some of the mystery. And he showed it off at CES in the earliest days. And a lot of people are saying it was possibly one of the best of CES, not just tablets, but... You know, but my one thing that concerned me about it was that Honeycomb looks so good. And, you know, it makes their, you know, they created their own, you know, custom, they on top of, they did their own custom job on top of Android. They call it Eden. And it suddenly makes Eden almost unnecessary. And I worry for them because of that, but it really is sublime. Actually seeing it hands-on, the people in Engadget got serious hands-on time with it. Giz didn't seem to care too much, but Engadget was just all over its nuts nonstop. And, you know, if you look up all the detailed videos, you're just like, holy crap, all that, and it's still, you know, its most expensive model is like a dollar cheaper than the cheapest iPad. You know, it's just... I'm excited for it again, and it's just, you know, it's already, like, a few have already started being sold in some places overseas, but in the U.S. it's waiting for, you know, FCC, and apparently it just got the FCC approval. It's just waiting for its little, you know, FCC-approved stamp to go out before they can start, but they've started pre-ordering and all that, and I'm excited. I mean, I'm not one of the, you know, I'm not going to go buy it immediately. I'm still in a holding pattern, you know, but I'm excited about it.
Well, I'm excited, but once again, I'm going to wait till second generation at least before I get real excited.
Yep. That, I mean, I don't know about waiting till second generation. Depends on what it does, how it does. But yeah, that's typically my mode. I like to beta test things. And, you know, I don't mind not keeping it. Beyond that, typically, I prefer... There have been very few things that have won me over in the first generation. Right now, Notion Ink, you know, the Atom looks like it might. But I'm waiting at least until Honeycomb comes out. I want to see what their plan is in the face of Honeycomb.
What comes after HI, right? So after Honeycomb is ice cream?
Or is yes.
There, or is there some
wasn't
other
it like ice
delicious...
cream cake or something like that?
They were naming other... it a little differently.
I don't know. Is Honeycomb really the dessert? I don't think so.
It's a cereal.
I was expecting honey cake because that makes it sound more desserty.
Honey buns. Yeah, honey bun, man.
Ooh, honey buns.
Oh.
All the calories of your normal Android.
I love that.
Or even bunch. Hot cross buns. I'd go with hot cross buns. That is a great song.
What was that? Hot crotch buns?
Hot cross. Don't you remember the song as a child? Hot cross buns.
No, dude.
No.
Hot cross pockets.
I didn't have a hot childhood. Yeah,
Android Hot Pocket. There we go.
That's a money-making idea. Dessert Hot Pockets. When's that coming?
Oh, it's called ice cream.
Do you microwave them? Is it like hot fudge or something?
No, you freeze them.
Be like, just eat them, like a little eat pie. Them cold. A little pie. How
it's
cool
like an
would
empanada,
be?
Essentially.
It's got chocolate and cream and syrup
Spanish
or something. Yeah.
Spanish.
Okay. Are robot overlords finally arriving? That was the big question that was asked with Watson, the new Jeopardy... the Jeopardy engineered robot that mopped the floor with our two Jeopardy champions the other day at a demo.
Hopefully not literally.
Yeah.
You pathetic, insipid fools. Our robot overlords have been here all along, building our cars and, you know... Okay, here's one thing I find buggy. These robots are all, you know... perfect and hyper accurate and whatnot, and yet even in, you know, automotive manufacturing, they still have, you know, products that they have to dump, you know, stuff that doesn't come out quite right. I think they're hoarding material. I think they're preparing for the inevitable war that we're too stupid to prepare for, as we're preoccupied with our sex dolls.
It'll be the sex dolls that turn on us first.
Oh.
Clamp down.
While we're all learning, can't
it.
Fight back.
Yeah, you ever seen Teeth? It's kind of like that.
No, we're not going there.
But you guys were able to see the demo video of Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Actually.
Yeah, could
it's
they
such
make
a
it
massive
look...
computer?
Yeah, I'm like, could they make it look any more melodramatic? Like it just like I look at it and I just think, oh yeah, that's the one that's going to end us all. You know.
Well, Ken Jennings and the other guy, the two human Jeopardy contestants, they said it was like playing against a very good Jeopardy human. It wasn't like they were playing against a robot. It was like honestly, it just comes down. I mean, it can be. They said I think Ken Jennings said it's like it can be beat. All it is, it's at the point where it's just a good Jeopardy player. That's all it is.
So. And off the record, he said, shit was bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What is shit fun. Is bananas?
Nah. did you see the those swarms? The that they... crud. What's it called? You know, they made the... flying robots. Do we call
purple
them robots? Androids? Whatever. Oh, what is it called?
What?
The one-eyed flying purple people eater?
Yes, that one. Sure, Gonzo.
No, now that's the song I remember.
It's like they're like toys. They have like the you know the rotor. It's like four sided. They have the rotors, whatever. Blah blah blah. Anyway,
a helicopter.
Yes, Gonzo.
What is
Mr.
That?
Smartass? God,
sorry, sir. It was what is helicopter?
But
he's on
you know.
To something.
The point is, you know, they've been working. I mean, you know, they've always been working on things like artificial life swarm behavior and all that stuff. And they got these bots to function, you know, as a swarm to rapidly build stuff. You know, they traded parts and it's you know, using pretty much toys to build little towers and buildings and such. And it wasn't so much the fact that they were building, because they've already been, you know, showing off these things, able to do a lot of very interesting things. But it was the fact that they were working so seamlessly as a swarm at, you know, multiple times the speed. And you're just thinking, you know, how long before the inevitable end? You know, I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but we're all going to die.
Maybe those 3D printers that are in their infancy now will start, be able to start creating, like, robot armies.
It's you know what, considering our obsession with mashups, you know, it's only a matter of time before someone says, I'm going to take that robot's head with that robot's body and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're screwed, guys.
Oh, it was nice knowing y'all.
Yeah. All right, then, okay. Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer's face again.
Is this going to be as corny as Armageddon, except with robots? I mean, the movie.
Wasn't there already a really terrible movie like that? With
Yeah, it was called Terminator 3.
Oh, yeah, that. I should have just referenced that.
Nah. I mean, hey, you know what? Someone has to be the downer, and as long as I'm the downer, you know, when it finally comes to pass, I get to be the prophet, and the prophet always gets a cushy job.
Oh, I'm still stuck on Jeopardy. I'm still thinking about that.
Because it was cool. Maybe.
Yeah, and you know what?
Trebek.
If I went on Jeopardy, always on Jeopardy on every episode, there's some sort of question related to Alexander Graham Bell. Or the telephone or AT&T or whatnot. I just want to go on there just so I can buzz in first and be like, who was phone? Is my
I'll
answer.
Pick Japanese relations for 200.
Oh, boy. Dear Jeopardy.
Okay. On lighter note, in Texas, I believe drunk cowboys were arrested for riding a horse and a mule. But
totally normal.
The DUI charges were dropped.
Of course. A horse is not a motor vehicle. That's an
Why
animal.
Why didn't this happen in Florida? I would think it would happen there.
No, it was this in Texas. Is Austin, dude.
This is Texas material.
I mean,
tell you what.
And I believe the two guys who were intoxicated and riding the horses stopped in the middle, and the horse and the mule, rather, stopped in the middle of the road. And sort of encourage people to come take pictures of them and try to solicit cash for those pictures so they could get enough cash to get, I believe, gas for their car to drive back home.
Awesome.
I'm telling you, y'all only think about Austin when it comes to South by Southwest, but that's a Monday night. You
yeah.
know?
Par for the course.
I've got a friend that lives in Austin. I'm just like, that's normal.
I really need to see there now. Forget South by Southwest. This is what I need to see.
Like the things you see on 6th Street, just drunk college students nonstop. And the crazy little things they do drunk.
Oh, well.
It's a great place crazy. To
be. Well, the charges, they're no longer
going to
be charged with driving under the influence. I believe they reduce the charges to
public intoxication.
Public intoxication, yeah. Because I guess they couldn't really being drunk on a mule or on a horse is a gray area of that law.
Well, it should be because yeah. you can't crash a horse; it will just stop moving.
That like RIY riding while intoxicated.
And contrary to popular belief, not that many people in Texas ride horses that often.
But it is legal. It is legal to ride a horse mm-hmm. on the street.
Word.
Not against the law. Better than a bicycle, in my opinion.
Well, it's also legal in Boston to for a cat to serve on a jury for jury duty.
That's hot.
According to the recent report, an East Boston cat who was listed on a census as his name was Sal Esposito. That's the guy's name. Their cat, and they listed it on the census and actually wrote down cat. Next to the guy to the name on the census. Well, it turns out Sal Esposito got a jury duty summons at his owner's residence.
Can
and
verdict.
When the people sort of went and you know contacted the jury commissioner and said hey, this is a cat, okay, he can't serve as a jury because he doesn't speak English. The jury commissioner denied the request.
Wow,
that's the one that's the one I want to know. Like, what?
So the cat right now, as of now, still has to go serve on the jury.
Well, I mean, it's fairly obvious the cat will be disqualified during jury selection, but you know, just and I think maybe the judge was just being a jerk, knowing this. He was like, yeah. You assholes wasting my time.
I might just pretend I'm a cat now. I'd be like, I'm sorry.
I love the last line of that story. sell service data to the Suffolk Superior Court except for March 23rd. Anna said that if the issue isn't cleared up by then, she will simply have to bring the cat to court.
What are they going to do? Arrest the cat for obstruction of justice or whatever it's called?
We're taking you to the pound, kitty.
Wait, you know what's pretty awesome, though, is you get paid for jury duty. So are they going to cut a check to that cat if it shows up?
Well, then that brings in the bigger issue of they do cut a $14 an hour check to the cat, it has to file for taxes, for tax returns and stuff like that. It has to fill out a W-2.
Oh, God, here's just a whole other can of worms we're opening up.
And what like, if it doesn't do the IRS? The IRS will be after the cat if it doesn't do all those all that paperwork.
This is the bottom line is feline uprising.
Don't give your cat a person name.
Bottom line is don't be an idiot on the census. You have one decade to get it right. One friggin' decade, and you couldn't get it right.
Hey, man.
I just wrote Sal Esposito and scratched out dog and wrote cat.
Oh, boy.
Sal really is a member of the family, so on the last census form, Anna listed him under pets. I didn't know there was a section for pets.
I didn't see a section for pets in my census either.
Yeah, I didn't see one.
Maybe they do things differently in Boston.
Maybe it's state to state different.
Massachusetts.
Those mass holes.
America.
Oh, boy. Apparently in Georgia, there was a slew of webcam-controlled guns discovered in the Georgia woods. Do we need to elaborate on this story at all? I think it just says it all right there.
Guns don't kill people. Browsers kill people.
I mean, apparently the guy was trying to hunt wild boar, like, from his house. Like, I don't want to go out there in the cold. I'm just going to sit at home.
Georgia cold. It's
called hunting 2.0. So when you live in Georgia, if it's nippy outside, it's freezing. You don't go out.
Once upon a time, people hunted with their bare hands, and now they don't even bother showing up.
This is how far we've come as a society.
But how different is that really from, it's still a step more than what we do where we just go to the grocery store and buy some ham.
Well, you know, actually, I take it to mean either he really loves hunting or he really hates boar.
I don't know how you hunt boars. I never hunted before. But would shotguns be a little bit of overkill?
Apparently.
Usually they use, like, 50 caliber pistols.
Well, this guy had three shotguns set up next to each other, so I'm guessing he wasn't really doing it for the sport of hunting.
Target practice.
The funny thing is, if he kills it, probably by the time he gets there to pick it up, you know, the rest of nature would have taken care of it for him.
You really don't want to eat wild boars, though. They're usually not very good.
They have a lot of worms, and they're kind of stringy. The guns are actually camouflaged, if you notice the picture. Ignore the fact that they're sitting on wooden and metal tables. Out in the open. The guy went the extra length to get him camouflaged as well.
No, you can just buy them like that, like off the shelf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can buy guns that come camo colored.
Haven't you been to Walmart?
You can buy them bright pink if you want to.
I have a gun license. I've shot pistols before, but not shotguns. So I'm not quite sure about shotguns.
Yeah, you can get them any color you want.
Well, just find the URL.
Except for rainbow.
You can shoot shotguns.
A little too gay.
Find the IP address and have yourself a ball.
Man, how awesome would that be? You hack into that guy's network and you're just, what's this button do? Holy shit, it's the woods.
Now is this guy
did I just kill a ranger?
Now is this guy legitimately hunting for boar, or is this just his excuse?
They never actually found who did it. Apparently some wildlife ranger reported it to the Homeland Security. And then before Homeland Security was able to investigate, they were gone.
Mobile sentries.
So I guess he went out there and picked them up.
Yeah, maybe it was a Team Fortress engineer. I mean, shotguns, turrets,
This is the future. Like a
obviously, a spy with sap in his century.
So, you guys hear the government has decided to scrap the whole virtual fence thing for the border. I never really figured out what that entailed. You know, was this something where what, you know,
that,
you
was that to
like,
keep
hey,
out the cyber Mexicans or something?
It's like, hey, let's pretend there's a fence here, all right, guys?
It's like a mime.
It's Berlin Wall 2.0.
You can only see it if you wear these special humongous goggles.
When are people going to learn that building walls on borders, virtual or solid, does not work?
They didn't have a lava pit, that's why.
It wasn't no a moat. A moat without
they really just need to go find Trogdor and just let him just hang out on the border. Just walk around.
Trogdor!
Hey, speaking of Trogdor, by the time everyone hears this, it'll probably be over. But Strong Bad, the Strong Bad game is on sale for 50% off. So go buy it; it's good. Oh, and it's available for Mac now, so you can you Mac people can get it too.
If only we had some way to live tweet that.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm lazy.
What apparatus would be you?
This is what happens when Benguin comes back from his hiatus.
If it gets the live tweet.
Game for attractive people.
Yeah, and to answer someone's question, I think you can get it on Steam. I'm not sure.
Yes, you can get it on Steam.
I cannot spend any more money on Steam. I realized how much money I spent on all those sales in December.
And I
added it all up, and I was like, oh, this is why I can't pay certain bills this month.
Oh, man, I've spent so much money on Steam recently.
Well, the deals are so good, you don't even think about what you're spending.
Yeah.
Crisis for $10? Fuck yeah.
I just realized that on one of those bundles that I bought, 25 of those games are like from 1992. That, like, you know, you'll never
play. Did you buy the 2K pack?
Was it the 2K pack? Was that the one with Borderlands?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
No, but no, I know the 2K pack had like Civ 3.
Yeah, it had NBA 2K10, 2009, whatever. Yeah, I bought that.
Barbie Mansion Plus? Fuck yeah.
Oh god! I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway,
is Pussy City Pimps on there?
Pussy City Pimps is free, my friend.
I just remembered one topic we were gonna bring up: the lady with the possible cure for cancer on her laptop.
Oh, that!
What a
that wasn't backed up.
Something tells me that she doesn't have the cure for cancer on that laptop. You can't be that smart and be so stupid.
Well, I mean, absent-minded geniuses are pretty normal, you know. It's just, I mean, I'm sure it just had her cancer research, and she said, you know, it could be a cure. You know, I could have the answer in there.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, this lady who supposedly has a cure, who supposedly was researching a cure for cancer, had over 7 years of notes and research on her laptop, and it got stolen. So,
owned. Come on, lady, Dropbox.
And then she tried to, like, succumb to, like, human, like, just be nice and bring it back. And she was, like, on the news, like, crying and shit, like,
are you serious? If I found out that the laptop I just stole had the cure for cancer, I'd sell that shit on the black market.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this guy, if it's true, will probably sell this for, like, massive amount of money.
Yeah, but the guy who stole it probably was just some schmuck who's like, ooh, laptop in a car.
Cancer.
He just
kind of
fucking take it and sell it to his buddy for, you know, $100 and be like, woo, easy money.
You know what?
And not think twice about it.
She was foolish for not backing it up. Chances are she has some colleague who has, you know, pieces of it. It probably exists in pieces on other systems.
I'm just amazed that she had the same laptop for 7 years without anything going wrong on it.
Well, yeah, you know, when you're that, and that's actually what kind of stuck out to me. It's like, you know, you said, you know, how can she be, you know, some genius and make some silly mistake. And I was like, she was also someone who managed to make a laptop with vital research last for...
Maybe she cured the laptop's cancer. I don't know.
I just think I've been around enough absent-minded geniuses to, you know, where it's like, oh, you.
Oh, you. You did it again. Perfect sitcom moment.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well,
studio.
We got to wrap this up, though. We're over. People are getting mad. Just making them listen. We're making them listen to extra minutes of the podcast. But
we should just be silent and make them sit through it.
Our listeners have shit to do, you know.
Bait them with the rap we're supposedly doing. Wink, wink.
Bait them.
Yeah, stay tuned for the Noisecast rap video coming soon to the YouTubes.
Featuring Akon.
That's how we roll in the burbs, yo.
I just had podcast, and it felt so good. All right, go on.
We're going to wrap this up. I want to thank all of you guys for joining us this evening on this cold, cold January night. Felt really nice having you here with us. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But to recap tonight, we had Agrippa.
West Side.
Oh.
That's the intro to our rap video.
Aren't you like in the middle of the United States?
Middle South Central.
Coast, bitches.
South Central, there you go.
South Central. I don't know the hand. I only know the West Side hand sign.
Just point which down and towards your down and towards your crotch. There we go.
If we were on video, I'd show you the one for the South Side, but it's a little more complicated than the West Side.
Bazooka Fox is also on the mic.
Hey guys,
it's actually goodbye, guys.
Yeah, I'm like, what are we all doing? Well, intros?
I thought we're gonna do another podcast. Are we doing like four in a row?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we're gonna bank them. Hopefully, nothing happens the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, is the Noisecast outro podcast is the Noisecast Network.
NNN.
Yes.
NCN. I'm sorry. No, I don't know. Whatever, Gonzo Ryder was here.
Made it through this one without beer, unfortunately.
Ben Gwynn also joined us.
Legitimate West Coast, bitches.
Snoop Dizzle, straight from CES.
You from East Coast? I from Far East Coast.
Oh, shit.
I don't think we've offended our Asian viewers yet, or Asian listeners.
How High, the movie How High. As bad as it was.
Screw you guys, I'm west of somebody.
Oh, boy.
You're west of me.
And I have the good fortune of being your host tonight, Stephen Kells. I say that very solemnly. Hit us up at twitter.com/noisecast. Visit our website, thenoisecast.com. And we'll probably be getting our sort of bloggy thing ported over to our website as well sometime soon, where you could find videos of Kevlar reviewing Windows Phone 7 and apps and other commentary and articles and stuff like that. But for now, it's at thenoisecast.blogspot.com. Tune in again next week, same time, same place, for The Noisecast.
White noise. In flames of death, see turn to rain. We ride towards the